How about standing with me for a moment? Just take the hand of the person next to you and just have a prayer with them. And you don't know that person, but it's good for you to step out of your comfort zone and have a prayer. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise God. Wow. Yes, Lord. We're in trouble, Lord. We're in trouble. We need help. We need help, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus, we pray. Yes, Lord. Salt and light. Yes, God. Thank you. Fill us with your Spirit all the time. Please fill us with your Spirit all the time and speak to our spirit. Build us up. We are hungry, thirsty. We need your thoughts, your mind, your conviction, your persuasion. God, we need your persuasion in our spirit. What's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false. We need it, Lord, and to stand in it, and to stand in it, we pray. Father, for our church, churches, God, and gatherings in your spirit, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that teaches us. It's the anointing that changes our lives. So, Lord, an anointing that fills us and satisfies us. Yes, Lord, we pray. Father, heal our land. Heal our land. In Jesus' name, make us healthy, 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 powerful, gracious, loving, and kind. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You want to high five your neighbor and sit down? God bless you. High five. Turn to Second. We're going to move around a little bit in the Bible. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. As we saw in the video, Franklin Graham, who's the son of Billy Graham, who passed on. Is alerting us, using his influence to alert us to the needs in our country. And we realize that, you know, 5 years is a short time, but it's a long time. And 5 years is a short time, another five, it's 10, and another five is 15 and 20. So the people born today will be 20 years old 20 years from now, and what they learn in our schools and family life has a big influence on our whole country. And it's my belief that Satan, who is the god of this world, actually has the influence to affect a nation. We read that in Revelation 12:9, also Revelation chapter 20. There's three places where it says that. We also know that he will deceive the whole world one day. He will have an amazing amount of influence by virtue of deception. Deception is a big word in our Christian vocabulary. Deception, like, what is it? To be deceived. To be misled and not know it. To be wrong and not realize it. To eat poison while I eat chocolate cake. I eat chocolate cake, but I don't realize that it's poison. Rat poison in the chocolate cake. There are many religions in the world, and this is a major strategy of the devil to deceive people by religion, by false teaching, by misconception of God. This is his great, great delight, is to communicate the wrong concept of God to people. Wrong concept of God. We would be taken away in the deception also, except that Jesus said, I go, but I send another, the Holy Spirit, who will guide you into truth. And there are certain truths that we embrace, doctrinal truths that we embrace, that there's no compromise regarding those truths. It is true. This is a lie that has been taught through our culture and in our universities, campuses, and by all means, that truth is relevant, that your truth is not my truth. My truth is not the same. It's for me, it's my truth. My truth. This is what is said. And we kind of accept it. But it should be argued, it should be challenged. And there's a couple ways, just by way of an introduction, to help you understand. My mother, how many mothers do you have? You have one? No, you have many. You have many mothers. No, I have one mother. No, you're wrong. You have many, many mothers. You can have many mothers. Of course, you can have many mothers. How many mothers brought you into the world?
One.
Okay. You deny it, you can believe whatever you want. But in my world, in my mind, I have one woman who brought me into the world, and that's my mother. And stay back off. That's my mother. You can't convince me otherwise. You can't persuade me otherwise. That's my mother. And by the way, love says, I have one mother. Love. I know my mother. My mother brought me up. My mother loved me when nobody else loved me, and I love my mother. That's my world. That's what I live in. Now, you need to get with the times. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You are narrow-minded. You are bigoted. You are blind. I feel sorry for you. There are many mothers. No. You see? Just change the word mother to the word God. I have one God. Who is the God? Who is God? God that loved me, gave his son for me, died for me. One God that died on the cross, rose from the dead. One God that loved me when I was far away. One God that saved me. one God. I have one God. Oh, you mean there's only one way to God, one way to heaven, one way, and you are the one that knows this? You don't have it exactly right, but you're getting the idea. Yes, sir. There is one Christ. One Christ hung on the cross. One Christ raised from the dead. One Christ has spoken the Gospels. And there are other Jesuses, 2 Corinthians 11. Other Jesuses, other spirits, and there's other Gospels, which are not the Gospel. So we are now looking at, in our country, of growing intolerance for this way of thinking. And that's okay, because I got one mother, and I love her, and I only have one, and it's okay. But this is in my heart. Now, I want to say something. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to basically say a few things, and I wanted to start in 2 Chronicles. Let's do that. We turn there, 2 Chronicles 7, in verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name... Now, these are Jewish people. This is a small nation. They become about 3 million people. Yeah, and in the captivity, when they were taken away and they returned, there was even a smaller, 42,360 people. That's recorded in the book of Ezra. A small number, 3% of the people returned. And that's amazing. This is a promise. If my people, Jewish people, why are they important? Because they're called by God's name. Well, what does that mean? They are the ones that are representing God and the correct concept of God and the nature of God. And if my people, which are called by my name, and I can't help but think the best example is that they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and there's no God that could do that except the true God. And then they went to Mount Sinai, and they were given the law. And there is no God that could do that except God, the living God. And he kept them 40 years in the wilderness. Then he brought them into the promised land, and they defeated 7 nations in 7 years as a small army of people that came out of Egypt as slaves. And they went because God gave them the land, because he's a covenant God. He gave them the land by covenant. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, this is the key for where we are at as the church, because we are his people. As well, the Jewish people are his people. And then, of course, not all Israel is Israel. Just because you are Jewish doesn't mean that you are of God, even though you're born biologically into a Jewish heritage. But it doesn't mean that you know God, that you're called by his name. For there is the need to be born again, as Christ said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, for you to have the Spirit of God and understand. But my people are blind and fat. They have grown fat and lethargic and blind, and they don't know me. And I come unto them, but they don't receive me, in John chapter 5. We are the people, we do not displace Israel and the promises that God gave to Israel, but we are here in God's name. And of course, America was born by spiritual hunger, religious freedom, and people that came here looking. And we have a history of revivals, three awakenings in our history, and great moving of God. And we would like to see a fourth one, and for healing to come to our nation. Verse 14, if they will humble themselves and pray. Now, I was reading from Barna. In general, Americans are aware that the nation's moral values are abysmal. 1 out of 5 adults, 19%, has a positive evaluation of the nation's values. 4 out of 5 are negative about it. By more than a 3-to-1 margin, adults contend that people's morals are getting worse rather than improving. Gallup poll likewise concludes that over a 15-year trend, solid majorities have consistently viewed the direction of the country negatively. So we have major changes in our country outside of the church. But on the outside of the church, it affects inside the church unless the church has spiritual focus. If the Spirit teaches us, then we will find satisfaction. If the Spirit teaches us, we will find communion that is edifying. When the Spirit teaches us, we will have conviction in our spirit about issues that are moral and spiritual. So, let's see, I have... (clears throat) 71% of Americans now believe that divorce is morally acceptable when God hates it. 68% of Americans now believe that sex between an unmarried man and unmarried woman is okay. They don't know what fornication means in the scripture. 63% of Americans believe that cohabitation is okay, when actually we should have character enough to get married. 63% of Americans believe it is okay to enjoy sexual thoughts or fantasies about someone other than one's spouse. But Jesus said to look after a woman lustfully is committing adultery with her. 63% of Americans believe that gay or lesbian relations are okay, when the scripture teaches homosexuality is a sin. 61% of Americans believe it is fine to have a baby out of wedlock, when actually children are born within a marriage relationship. 69% believe euthanasia is acceptable. 51% of Americans say they would consider ending their lives if diagnosed with a terminal illness. 53% of Americans agree it's okay to have sexual relationship with someone of the opposite sex to whom you are not married. That's more than half of the country believe that. 34% of Americans believe that viewing pornography is morally acceptable, and so on. So I think you understand what I'm saying. Look at the verse again, please. 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, that doesn't mean American people. It's my people. That's you. My people. I happen to be an American, but not all Americans, they are not God's people. Americans, it doesn't mean you are God. You must be born of the Spirit. You belong to God. My people, if they will not believe this stuff, if my people will humble themselves. So that's it, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And here it is, turn from their wicked ways. That means in that prayer march in Washington, you know what it's about? Yeah, we pray for our country, but we need to be praying for what's wrong in my life, what's happening in my heart. If I turn from my wicked ways, that's the church. That the church is to be healthy. The church is not to have abortions. It is not to live in adultery. It is not to be viewing pornography. It is not to be cheating and stealing. It is not to be lying. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, I will heal, verse 14, I will hear from heaven. Wow, thank you, Lord. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's too much stupid thinking going on in our country. There's too much stupid thinking. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't realize. They cannot differentiate. They cannot discern. They don't have any distinction. They can't separate the holy from the vile. They can't separate the holy from the vile, because it takes the Spirit of God to do that. And to be before God in my heart and just to say how many things are wrong in my life and to pray for others. The greatest political influence that I can have in this world is to convert somebody to Christ. The greatest thing that I could do would be to evangelize my neighbor. The best thing that I could do is to meet a teenager and minister to them and have a good talk with them and lead them in the faith. The greatest thing that could happen would be for each one of us in the Spirit of God with humility before God to walk in the light and to have a ministry in our country for God to heal the land. And okay, say that sin is sin. But here's the thing that is very possible. The bad guys take over the country. That can happen. The bad guys will take over. Bad guys take over. Who are the bad guys? Turn to Romans, please, chapter 1. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Do you know what they are doing? They're saying, no God, no God. Why do people say no God, no to God, or no God, there is no God? Why do they do it? Because Jesus said they love darkness. That's why. John 3:19. They love darkness, but light came, but they love the darkness, so they say, no God. Even God visits them in their childhood by the seashore. God visits them in the Sunday school. God talks to them at the university campus, so they say, no God. No God. That's what they do. So what happens? Verse 21. It says, they were not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their minds took them away in their thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. Foolish heart. When I was at university, there was a crazy guy in our dorm, and he took an antlers from a deer and put ping pong balls on the tips and put it up on the wall, and he said, that's my God. Yeah, and he got stoned every day, and he worshiped that God. That's what he did. Yeah, and do you say, well, that's stupid? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. A foolish heart is darkened. What other stupid things have we seen in our country? What stupid things are done? What stupid thoughts are being thought? What stupid ideas that people have? What is happening? It's the bad guys. That's what it is. Look at verse 22. Professing to be wise because they are professors at the university, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image make like to corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Tree huggers in North Carolina, I saw a video. They were hugging trees and they were feeling the vibrations through the trip from the earth, Mother Earth. My God is the earth. My God is the earth. And I feel the earth through the tree. And I hug the tree. Professing to be wise, we're like, they are fools. They are fools. They are fools, imagine. Well, this is a good Sunday morning message, is to think about these things a little bit and look at, read the next part. It goes, God gave them up, verse 24. And if you look at that phrase in the Greek, God gave them up, it's like this. Have you ever had a refrigerator in your house and it's over? And just put it out. You get somebody comes and takes it up, or it ends up in the dump. A microwave oven. How many microwave ovens are thrown away in the dump? They take them and they just throw them away. That's what it means. God gave them up. God turned them over. They are not useful. They are there, and they are suffering in their foolishness and their life. And one day they will face God. And one day they will face God for the opportunities that they had, or the fact that God has spoken to their hearts at some point in their life. And they said, no, God. No, God, I don't want it. I don't want it. Why? Because they don't know what it is. Their God is in their own imagination. They make one up. And the living God, they don't know him. Like it says, the woman at the well, Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4:22, you worship, but you don't know what. And the earth is filled with worshipers who don't know what they worship. But Jesus said, you will know me, for I will send the Holy Spirit, and you'll know who I am and my nature, my love, my spirit, and you'll have one God. There'll be one God, and he'll be the only wise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. One God. I've got one mother. And the world can talk all the day long about how intolerant I am, how narrow-minded I am and everything, but say, listen to me. Listen to me. I got one God. He's the living God. Yeah, and also I've got one mother, and I don't have any other mothers. I got one. You get it? Okay. The people that are given over like a refrigerator thrown in the dump, sad to say, but that's just what happens. And so they live they keep living for 50 years, and they get influence over people. And God gave them up in verse 24. They even dishonor their own bodies. They changed the truth of God into a lie, verse 25, and worshiped and served the creature or the creation more than the creator. Always have that in the back of your mind. There is the creature or the creation, and there is the creator, and they are not the same. The Creator transcends creation. That Creator is God. The creation is not God. We are not worshiping the creation. We are worshiping the Creator, the living God who always was and always will be. And His attributes are awesome. And to study the nature of God stirs the heart and satisfies us because eternity is in our hearts. That we hunger for the eternal. And there is nothing that will satisfy me but the living, the only wise God. Somebody says to me, why don't you drink? I go, I don't need it. I got God. You go, oh, come on, be real. You got to relax and have a... I go, you wouldn't believe how relaxed I am. I could fall asleep talking to you. You wouldn't believe the good time I got going on in my heart. You cannot believe how much joy I got in my life. Well, what do you need? You need some adventure. You need to get out of the box. I go, out of the box, I live with a living God who is not in any box. I'm a human being and I got my limitations, but when you taste of the living God, there's a passion in you and a love. And there's a big difference between you and the world, because the world is promoting these lies of foolishness. I want to just skip. It talks about homosexuality, verse 26, verse 27. Listen to me. We don't offend people. We're not trying to defend people. But I don't agree with them. I don't defend them. I don't defend a lie. You can talk all the day long about how narrow-minded I am, but I don't defend. I don't have to. I'm not on your side on that thing. I don't vote for people that represent immoral and foolish ideas and will govern me foolishly. If they cannot make wise decisions morally, how are they going to make decisions about my freedom and about my who I am as a person and my religion and the way I think? What, am I going to trust these people? No, look at where it's going. Chapter 1, verse 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, it means you can't talk with them, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them, in people that do them. Let me repeat it. Verse 32, we got to take it slow. These people that are worshiping the deer antlers with ping pong balls and getting stoned every day, and this is their life. They live it, live the life, and there's many versions of that. These people not only know that it violates God's order, God's mind. They know that it's wrong. They not only do it, but they have pleasure in the personalities that are embracing it. Do you see it here? They not only do the same, but have pleasure in the personalities or the people that represent homosexuality, the people that are representing adultery, the people that are representing dishonesty and criminality. They not only do them, but they have pleasure in the other dictator that is in the world, the dictator that is a tyrant. They have pleasure in him. Yeah, they not only do it, but they have pleasure. They find each other. Hitler found Mussolini, and they hit it off because they were both tyrants. And then he raised up an army of Nazis. Hitler raised up an army of proud, arrogant, racist, bigots, dangerous, and built a 4-million-man army to take over Europe. And he did it. Not only was it ungodly, and it was foolish and arrogant, and it was wrong, but he was voted into power, that he'd made his way, It actually happened. Not only did he do it, but he had pleasure in anybody that was like him. That would be just as murderous. Amazing. So this world is pretty crazy, and I want to make just give a wake-up call today. So turn to Ephesians. We're going to be finishing in a minute because I think you got the point. I'm stirred up about it. Ephesians 5, verse 14. A few good exhortations before we finish here. Awake, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Oh, I don't know if you're going to survive in this church. I don't know if you're going to make it, honestly. I don't know if you're going to make it. I think we got some days ahead of us. We got some real serious decisions that have to be made in our hearts about where we are, who we are, what we believe. Guys, we're going to get it, probably. We're going to find ourselves in some trouble. Hallelujah. I don't mind being in trouble for the right reason. And I show my lot in with my other brothers and sisters in this world that are willing to say, I got one, in my, and now I got one mother. Don't tell me anything else. Stay away from me. I got one mother. You're a liar. I got one mother. Stay away from me. I will evangelize you. I will love you. I will care for you. I will pray for you. But you cannot, you're gonna hate me. You're gonna label me. You because not only are you doing it, but you've got an army. Isn't that what that verse? I'm going, go, can you go back to the other one? Romans 1:32. Okay, thanks. But have pleasure in them. You get an army, people, that you have pleasure in those that do. In you propagate it. It's called communal evil, poneros evil. It's a propagation of your lie, and you are pushing your whole agenda. You have a whole strategy, and this is your way. And you know who the people are that are a big stumbling block to this whole movement? It's the Christians. We have a different spirit. We have a different way of thinking. We have a living God. We have a God that makes us different. We don't agree with them. And also, we're able to say we don't agree. We don't agree with that. I don't do that. I don't believe it. I don't want my children to be like that. I don't want my children to learn that. I don't agree with that. I don't accept that. And what does it say in Ephesians 5? Awake, awake, thou that sleepest. Who's he writing but to the Christians? Wake up. You need discernment. Wake up. Do you discern? Do you realize what's going on? Awake, thou that sleepest. I'm a sleeper. I'm a sleeper. Jonah, the prophet, was a sleeper. It says, awake, thou sleeper. Remember, the sailors went down in the ship and down in the hold. And they said, wake, thou sleeper. Wake up. Wake up. Men and women of God have to wake up. How could a church be closed? How could a church be closed? Call it whatever you want. We got a picnic. Call it a picnic if you want to. But we are the church. We cannot close. How can you be closed? How can you be closed? Come on. Especially now, 7 months later. You know, what's going on? It's like, what? Where is the church? Awake, thou that sleepest. Hey, do you have any stand? We are afraid of men. We are afraid we can work together. No, you can't. This is serious. Yeah, we do not believe in adultery. We do not believe in a homosexual. We do not believe in those things. We are spirit-filled. We are being taught by Jesus Christ. to be salt and light in a dark world, and to have some conviction in our heart, and to evangelize and share the message. When was the last time a Christian evangelized his neighbor? When was the last time he handed out a tract? Even just dropped a tract in the bathroom, like, and slipped out with nobody seeing him. I mean, when did he believe that? Do you know that I could talk to somebody on the street? It happened to me yesterday. It was the strangest thing. This guy had a little motor scooter, and he's sitting down on the street. I thought he had fallen. He was an old guy, and he had a wrench, and I stopped, and he was not entirely making sense, and I was concerned if he needed help, and should I give him a ride or do something. And anyway, I he said he was okay, and I left him, and he said, God bless you, and these things. And then when I went home, I said, I think I should go back. And then I thought, wow, maybe he's an angel. He could be an angel. Why do I say that? Because Hebrews 13 says, we entertain angels without knowing it. Do you know what that means? It means angels, when we meet them, don't have wings. Because if they had wings, we would know they're angels. They don't have wings. That's it. The angels don't have wings. And we are meeting them. And I wonder how often. And we have divine appointments, and we meet people and share the message of Christ. And we met two in the Eastern Shore in a pickup truck. And the guys took it. I said, I want to talk to you about Jesus. And they go, that's amazing. Thank you. Thank you. We were talking about this morning. And the other guy goes, you know, I need to find God. I have many questions, you know. Well, this helps us because we have to be awake. And being awake, we have to discern. I always find it interesting how animals can tell in the forest. They can smell miles away. They can hear sounds, you know, the breaking of a twig. Like, animals are so alert and aware, and it's how they survive, by being alert and aware. I realize with people how sensitive we can be with each other, like how we are, and we can feel and sense like things, and sometimes in a bad way, and we can be really wrong. But in another way, through love, we can be very sensitive to each other. And it doesn't happen when you're asleep. When you're asleep, you can miss what's going on. When you're asleep, you don't realize that there's a real danger happening. When you're asleep, you don't realize that the warehouse is on fire. But you're sleeping in the next house, and you don't realize what is happening. And here it says, awake. Thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Verse 14, it says, and Christ shall give you light. Help me, Jesus, in these days to evangelize, because I only have a few hours left in my life. Help me. Don't live like you're going to live forever. Live like your life is, I don't know how much time we have. Right, some of us, you know, maybe a long time. But I always say that people don't like to hear it. Oh, you're going to live long. You're going to live long. How do you know? Yes, okay. Okay, let's be happy. I'm going to live very long. Okay, let's have, can I have another? Let's be happy. I'm going to live very long, you know. It's like, okay, I know that, but I'm saying something else. That life is short. Life is a vapor. Share your faith. I'm saying angels are here. They come and go, and we don't know that we entertain. And by the way, when I went back to look for the man, he was gone. Scooter was gone and everything. The angel disappeared. I don't know what happened, but I'm trying to say something. You know, we have a good time. when we live in the Spirit. But don't be foolish. You got to, when you vote this fall, you pray. And it's bigger than a vote, but vote. But you pray for this country. And we want, politics will not save us. A revival, a turning to God. And if my people, I don't need many, but I need the real thing. And if my people will humble themselves and turn from their pornography, adultery, abortion, lying, and homosexuality, and embracing all the garbage, and they will in their heart realize that that's wrong. I need God. I want God. If they will humble themselves and they will pray, I will heal their land. I will bring a revival. The YMCA was born during the time of the Civil War. Guys of churches that are saying, kids need a father. Kids need a place to play ball. Kids need teaching. Kids need the Bible. You know, our country is filled with this. Now we're in trouble. What do we need? We got to be awake and realize we've got to be the answer for this generation. We got to preach at the campus. We got to share our faith. God will raise up somebody that'll say, not in my watch. I believe God. I'm like a Jonah. I got a message. I'm like an Abraham. I'm leading my family. I'm like a Moses. I got to go back to Egypt and set my people free. And so on and on and on it goes. It happens. And we are people that are hungry for it. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? So, Lord, we want to, as we assemble, we pray. Would you put evil on its head? Would you help us? Would you turn a lie to shame? That people would realize they believe lies. And would there be voices throughout our country that would be shouting out like John the Baptist, make clear the way of the Lord, shouting a voice in the wilderness, crying out, make way for the coming of the Messiah. That if we could get close to God in our spirit and in our hearts, then these things are simple and easy and clean and clear, and there's authority in them. And we care about kids, about families, about moms, about dads. We care about spirit, about prayer, we pray. Lord, we care in Jesus' name. And then anyone here today without Jesus, would you come as you are and say to Jesus, save me, forgive me, forgive me, thank you, save me, wash me, fill me, teach me. Anyone saying the prayer, just raise your hand, give me a little signal with your hand. The ushers will give you something to read. Anybody say yes to Jesus? Never done it before? Do it and start walking today with God. In his name, amen.